Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday we talked about our latest news where the ex-jail boss, Vicky White, and the escape inmate, Casey White, they didn't get very far. Nope, after all this elaborate planning, after you had your jailhouse romance, you tried to escape for 10 days, 10 long days. They had been at it. And unfortunately, the chase ended up in a car crash where the ex-jail boss, her gun went off and wounded her. Yes, she did not make it after she succumbed to her injuries. And he's on his way to jail. Now, they weren't related. They weren't mad. They just happened to have the same last name. But, you know, I can't remember the last time there was some jail break, if you will, that really ended where the people didn't get caught. No. I'm sure there's some free inmates out here somewhere ducking and running from the law. But unfortunately, these two did not make it. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I really tried my best not to pay a whole lot of attention to, you know, all of the details in the very beginning because it just really seemed like it was just a typical jailhouse romance that ended up, you know, this woman was just about to retire. And I guess maybe she figured she didn't have a whole lot to retire to. But he didn't look like he was getting out of jail no time soon. So how in the world was this a plan? I don't know. You know, I always say, is this a plan? Was this a plan? What happened? What happened that you ended up renting a orange getaway car? Yes, and, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when she helped him break out of jail, she was being charged with one set of offenses. And since then, she had been upgraded. Her charges had been upgraded, so she was going to face a little more than what she initially thought. And renting a car under an alias was one of them, was an offense. So, you know, again, you got to have your plan together because if you couldn't even rent a car, you know, with your correct name because you were evading the police and the authorities, then how in the world were you going to continue continue to go forward. You didn't know that that would add on to your charges? Oh, that poor planet. Well, one of our other stories was, maybe we could say she didn't plan too well either. Well, there's a New York City police officer who, you know, had been married to a 35-year-old woman, and he suspected her of cheating on him. So he took off from his night shift and decided to follow her and him. Yes, they planned a rendezvous up in Wallkill, New York, and they drove separately to a spot where she parked her car, left her car, because she was under the assumption that her husband was on to them. And, you know, they go to their rendezvous spot, they do their thing, they live it up, and they get back in the car. He drives her to pick up her car. And they went, you know, they went to Dave and Buster's, they went here and there. And, you know, they decided to go back to the rendezvous spot, and somehow or another, in their two separate cars, he followed the man. Now, the man just happened to be a 20-year-old dog walker of his wife, and he caught up with him, and after 16 rounds, shot him in the head, then turned the gun on himself and murdered himself. He committed suicide. And, you know, my thought was, you know, he's going to make her pay. He's going to make her pay for the rest of her life. She's going to remember having this affair. You know, they did say that they had been having trouble in their marriage. And, that's what she opted to do. She opted to go and have the affair. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't end very well, where she ran up and found both her lover and her husband dead outside of a Buffalo Wild Wings establishment. So again, your plan did not get very far. Anytime he was able to follow you and murder and, you know, your lover and commit suicide. And, you know, this is a costly mistake. You know, and you have these two women who made very costly mistakes. Yes. You know, you opted to, you know, go in a direction that you shouldn't have been in. And it didn't work out very well. You know, you went with your heart, and your heart kind of led you in the wrong direction. And unfortunately, you know, you have one woman who died in the process, and you have another woman who probably wish she was dead, because you now have to face, you know, this again. You'll have to remember this for the rest of your life. I don't know if there were any children in this marriage, but, you know, if so, that's another issue that you're going to have to, you know, get through. And I don't know. You know, we have a situation, you know, that it'll just never be the same. Never be the same. So that's how we spend our Tuesday. And we have been blessed to see the middle of the week. And we are facing Wednesday, hump day. But we call it Wow Wednesday over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. Oh, we ain't trying to figure out how we going to get through the middle of the week, because all we need to do is let the ladies loose over here. And that's what we're going to do today, as we always do it on Wow Wednesday. We have a wonderful, I mean, power-packed, you know, experience for you today. And I'm looking forward to hearing our socially conscious segment with our girl Vivian. And she's been turning it up over here. A lot of times we have to really make it to our main topic. Yeah, because by the time she finished with her news, she even blew us away, and that's all we could talk about. So we're about to take that quick break. And you want to make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. You know that those two cans of sardines. Remember now, two cans of sardines per week will help with your diabetes. We've got oatmeal that we can always go through, you know, go to. And that helps with our fiber. And let's make sure we get that pomegranate juice. Now, we haven't spoken about that pomegranate juice in a minute. So let's make sure we get that in our system, because pomegranate juice has really, really, really shown that it can be a major blessing. Can you imagine just from one juice? Well, it comes from the earth. It comes from God. So, hey, I'm not surprised. So make sure you tell a friend that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Psoriatic arthritis is a type of inflammatory arthritis that causes joint pain and fatigue. Often invisible, fatigue can be a major problem for many people with PSA. To get a better understanding of what it's like to live with chronic fatigue, we asked some psoriatic arthritis patients to describe it.
I'll just sit in my chair for 2 hours because I can't summon the will to get up and move.
If I were to describe my fatigue as an animal, it would probably be a turtle. Not only do I move slowly, fatigue also makes me retreat into my shell.
Fatigue is like when you get your blood taken at the doctor, but instead of blood, the energy slowly gets pulled from my body.
Everybody's been through a move before in their lifetime. For me, fatigue feels like moving day every day.
Fatigue isn't something you can sweep under the rug. Learning how to talk about it with your doctor is a first step in starting to feel better. To get tips and support to fight back against your fatigue, visit creakyjoints.org/PSA fatigue.
Good morning again, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday over here. God has really blessed us to just usher us into the middle of the week. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, just getting over that hump day is a lot. But we don't worry about that over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, do we? No, we don't. Because we give God thanks for just getting us to the middle of the week. And we celebrate. We celebrate. It's a high day over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. So let's not waste any more time. Let's say good morning to our girl Vivian. And let's get that socially conscious segment going. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am doing well, Vivian. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
All right. You got to make sure you have that Mariah voice. Got to make sure you have that Mariah voice. What you got for us today, Viv? What you got for us?
Okay. Today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at those COVID numbers. Top 5 states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still at that number one spot with 53,178 cases. That is an increase of over 9,000 cases since last week's report. New York State still in that number two spot with 39,110 cases. That is an increase of over 5,000 cases. Florida, still in that number three spot with 37,103 cases. That is an increase of over 7,000 cases. Illinois has moved from fifth to fourth place this week with 36,079 cases. That is an increase of over 10,000 cases. And Puerto Rico dropped from fourth place to fifth place this week with 31,152 cases. That is an increase of over 4,000 cases since last week. So as we can see, same top five states in almost the same order, all seeing increases this week. Reports are also saying that these numbers can be even higher than reported since at-home testing results are not included in these numbers. So just be careful when you're out there. You know, continue to social distance, continue to wear your mask because it is not over yet. And while we are on the topic of the pandemic and COVID and the sorts, reports are saying that childhood hunger is 55% higher than pre-pandemic levels. According to a report from City Harvest released on Monday, more than 7 million children benefited from City Harvest's community food programs in 2021. And since the start of the 2022, which, again, we're only in May, City Harvest has served about 525,000 more children each month, which totals out to be 55% increase since the pre-pandemic levels. And they found that 88% of food pantry users are children. They're saying that families across the city are struggling amid surging prices of food, rent, and other necessities, all at a time when free lunch will be harder to access. I remember when I was younger, you could go up to any school and get free lunch during the summers, and that is becoming less and less likely these days. Remember we spoke about the community fridges a while ago that they have been implementing across the tri-state area. So if you, again, see any of them in your neighborhood, if you have to give, please reach out to your churches, possibly your schools, reach out to food pantries, any way you can to help those in need because it is evidently getting harder and harder, especially for people who have children. So if you can give, please find a way to do so, at least for the children's sake. And now in some local news, reports say that CVS and Walgreens are among some of the retailers that have been limiting the sale of baby formula amid the ongoing nationwide shortage. So if you are a parent that gives your baby Similac or any type of powdered formula, you may have noticed that there has been a shortage of these products being made available at stores, and that is because there is a nationwide shortage. Since back in February, when there was a recall on powdered baby formula, so since that has happened, there has been a shortage nationwide. They had to take a lot of those products off the shelf because a couple of babies even died from the contaminated baby formula. So now they're going through this shortage, and the CDC wants you to be careful. They are warning people not to give your baby diluted infant formula or homemade formula to infants. They are also asking you to avoid buying formula online since it can be counterfeit. So they're not really giving any suggestions as to what you can do. They're just making you aware not to dilute the formula, not to make your own, and not to buy them online unless you're absolutely positively sure that it is what you're paying for. then don't take your chances. They're just offering those suggestions and offering out apologies. The only thing that I can say is just remain prayerful and just go on a hunt throughout your local neighborhood stores and stock up as much as possible, because they're not saying when or if this shortage will be over anytime soon. So Pastor Stephanie Pastor Stephanie talked about an officer who raped a woman who came into the precinct to report a gang rape that she had been through. And now we have a story of a paramedic who has now pled guilty to sexually assaulting patients in his ambulance during their ride to hospitals. So reports are saying that 57-year-old James Wally has pled guilty to 3 counts of sexual battery and 2 counts of touching a child with lustful purposes. According to prosecutors, the incidences happened between 2016 and 2019 while Wally worked at a paramedic ASAP ambulance. So he is awaiting his sentences, and he faces up to a maximum of 30 years in prison for each sexual battery charge and 15 years for each molestation charge. So we just can't trust anybody nowadays. You're in the ambulance on your way to a hospital after an accident or after feeling ill, and you have this man molesting you on your way to the hospital. Definitely sick. And we have some possible good news. According to the Biden administration, they have unveiled its plan to increase the availability of low-cost, high-speed internet for families across the country. The Biden administration has secured agreements with 20 internet service providers to reduce monthly service costs by up to $30 a month. Participating companies include AT&T, Comcast, Xfinity, and Spectrum, among others. It's being called the Affordable Connectivity Program. And if you qualify, you can have your bill reduced by up to $30 a month. And they're saying that about 48 million households, or 40% of the United States, will qualify. Of course, some of the criteria is if you receive SNAP, if you receive Medicaid, SSI, Veterans Pension, or Survivor's Benefits, among some other things. If your child gets reduced or free lunch at school, you most likely will qualify. So if you want to find out if your household qualifies, you can go to whitehouse.gov/get internet to find out if you or someone in your household qualifies to reduce your internet bill by up to $30 a month. And now we have our wow story of the week. This one is definitely short and sweet. But police in Palm Beach, Alabama, have arrested a 26-year-old Shamik Absalom Dunn and charged him with attempted rape and first-degree kidnapping after he attempted to rape a 19-year-old woman who was interviewing him for a position for a job at a tanning salon in Alabama. The woman has not been named, but she said during the job interview, Mr. Dunn attacked her. She was able to fight him off. She received minor injuries. She ran out of the room where she was interviewing him for this job and was able to call police. Mr. Dunn ran off after the attack, but he was shortly arrested by police, which was an easy feat because he used his real name and his real address on the job application. He is being held on bond, totaling $90,000. And we all have had some pretty interesting job interview stories that we can tell, but this one definitely takes the cake. And for him to use his real name and his real address on a real job application, to me, means He most likely was seriously seeking employment. He met this PYT, this pretty young thing, and he lost control. I mean, I don't know what's worse. If he planned the whole thing, setting up a job interview to rape this woman, but put his real name on the application and his real info on this application, or if he was really seeking employment, went to this interview, met this 19-year-old woman, and just couldn't control himself. I don't know which scenario would be worse, but it's definitely just crazy that he would be on a job interview and try to rape somebody. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Ah, you never cease to amaze me, Vivian. Oh, my goodness gracious. We got these COVID numbers, first of all. Everybody's in, the top five are still the top five, you know, even though we take a little shift toward the end. But again, we've got up to 10,000 people more infected in one of the states. And, this is concerning because, you know, again, we knew that taking off these masks, you know, telling people that they can take off their masks, I get it. Everybody was sick of wearing the masks. We all were. I mean, and nobody got, you know, whether you left the house and, you know, you had to stuff masks in your bag because you would always forget, you know, whatever it is. Nobody was less than, you know, sick than someone else of wearing the mask. We're all sick of wearing the mask. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess I never put my head there, Viv, because my thing was, it's the way we have to live now. And because we've got surge of people taking off their masks, now this is why we're experiencing this increase. And it's sad that we have gone so low to potentially go high again. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, you know, we're going to be at these low numbers anymore. Because if we don't stop, you know, it's going to get bad again. This is how we ended up getting to where we were the first time. So, but I tell you, your stories never cease to amaze me. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving us our segment this morning, and we pray you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. All right. It's time to talk to our ladies. Let's say good morning to our elder knight, Tisha Moore, and we're so happy to have you with us this morning. Good morning, elder knight, Tisha.
Good morning. How are you today? Happy to be on with you and all of our faithful listeners.
Oh, I am well. Thank you. I am well. Oh, what are we talking about this morning? What story are you
doing? You know what? I think let's talk, since I'm getting ready to have a grandchild in the next couple of months, let's talk about this Enfamil, this shortage on baby formula.
Yeah.
You know, that's alarming. About, you know, what's going on there. And the instructions that they're given to not make your own formula. So let me ask you, because I remember growing up, my grandmother and mother made their own formula. They would go buy the carnation milk. They bought the vitamins and put the drop of vitamins in there. They had the Dad, what was the name of that honey? That I forgot the name of the honey, the specific type of honey that they would put a drop in. Like, and that was our formula. So why we can't make our own formula?
Yep. And I say yep again. My mother always talked about the fact that she was like, Stephanie, we gave y'all pet milk. Which was pet milk. But like you said, the carnation milk. And she said, because I got a few years over you, she said that at that time, they didn't put anything else in it. It was straight pet milk. At least by the time, you know, grandma got to you, they were dropping vitamins and honey up in there. But because I asked her, I said, plain pet milk? She said, yes. She said, we had to water it down, and that's what we gave you. But here, this is what I want to talk about with you this morning since you brought it up. We have been the healthiest generation, you know, since the baby boomers.
Yep.
What about that?
Agreed.
And all we had was pet milk and honey and a bottle of vitamins.
Mm. Exactly. And that's what it was, K-Ro syrup. That's what it was. It wasn't honey. It was the K-Ro syrup.
And I thought that's what you meant. I thought, but when you said the syrup, you kind of threw, I mean, the honey, you kind of threw me. Yes, it was the K-Ro syrup. Yes, I remember that.
And so, because I think, again, all of this milk that you know, we do have today, including cow milk. I mean, there are so many documentaries that talk about what's being added and how cows are not being taken care of, you know, everything is about mass production. And so because of this mass production, we are not getting quality anymore. So the truth is, I think we do need to go back to old school. And so I hear y'all, you know, suggesting and saying, listen, just be careful, because if you don't have the right nutritional value in what you are preparing, you could be, in essence, starving your baby, right? If you're giving them watered down, just milk, you're starving your child of the nutrients necessary for their growth.
Absolutely.
So I get it, but I don't know. We may have to go back old school, drop some cod liver oil in that milk, and we never had no cold wings. We ain't
girl. Girl, I remember my grandmother giving us this cod liver oil, and she'd give it to us in a teaspoon, and then we'd hurry up and wash it down with the orange juice. But like you said, we didn't get colds. We didn't get sick. I mean, we never were ill. And it's just, you know, we handled our little millennials, you know, the way we did, and even they are, you know, on the healthy side. But after that, you know, you got children born with allergies and all kinds of conditions. So like you said, you know, it's not being they're not doing what they used to do, and for whatever the reason is, mass production, blah blah blah, you know, they're not handling the food and the animals properly. So now it has this domino effect into you know, what we give our children. So here's the last thing I want to touch on regarding this. It may mean Elder and I, Tisha, that moms are gonna have to start taking better care of themselves so that they can give their children breast milk. What about that?
Yes,
all natural.
Yes, definitely. Yes, I had that conversation with my daughter to say, listen, you may have to rethink this. She's talking about she didn't want to breastfeed because she didn't want her breast to be cracking and all this. I'm like, girl, if you don't feed my grandson and stop with the foolishness.
do you see how they think? Oh, my
God. Yes, unbelievable.
They have found that breast milk has been the healthiest. It has definitely been much healthier than the formula. And moms have benefited greatly because they say that breastfeeding helps to draw your abdomen in. You know, so you know what you do? Go do the research on all the benefits of breastfeeding and go hand it to her. Wrap it up with a bow. And give, that's a first gift as a new mom. Here you go, baby.
Listen, I told her her breast, her cracking breast was going to have to be the first sacrifice she made for her child. Motherhood is about sacrifice. So your cracked breast is your first, get used to it, miss. Get used to it.
That's right. But studies have shown that breast milk is the most healthiest choice. But unfortunately, a lot of moms, they have not gone the breast cracking route, but they do because they want to eat the way they want to eat. And when you're breastfeeding, you can't
not do that. You can't eat all that spicy
right.
food. You cannot, you know, just eat what you want to eat. And, you
right.
know, because you have that whatever your, you know, the baby is taking from you, it's taking. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've got these allergies and we've got these things that these children are born with. So we got to make sure that if it's going to be the healthier choice, over Similac, and well, especially now that it ain't on the market.
right. You ain't got no other choice. I saw one report that was saying you could go to a breast milk bank and other mothers who are selling their breast milk and get some free, and buy some breast milk. I don't know
Ooh.
How I feel about my child
what?
Drinking another woman's breast milk.
You know what? I have heard it all. Every time Elder and I teach, I think that we have just heard everything. Listen, if sperm has been in the bank for centuries, then I guess they could throw some best breast milk up in. I guess. Oh, my goodness gracious. But it has been wonderful having you all with us this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's get to this lady, Tamika, and see what she wants to talk about this morning. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Good morning to our ladies. And, of course, where would we be without our listeners? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing well. I believe I heard a tail end of the last story where someone came in for an interview and raped someone.
Yeah, but you know we can't talk about that now. That's the wild story. So okay,
that was
so,
the only one. I was in transit.
Okay.
I apologize.
I'm going to give you something else. Okay, so we got this paramedic who has pled guilty of sexual assault three times, including a child. And he, on the ride to the hospital or wherever he was taking them, he, you know, molested and sexually abused his passengers. We've got childhood hunger now being higher. Vivian says that there's a 55% increase in pantry users that includes children. So we've got that story, and we've got the Biden administration who is now implementing a program, an affordable program for high-speed internet. They've gotten several internet companies to join on to this program. And if you receive SNAP, Medicaid, any kind of survivor's benefits, SSI, plus some other, you know, benefits, you are eligible to get this particular program or be a part of this program. So those are the other stories that we spoke of, well, Vivian gave us this morning, that does not include the wow story.
All right, so I'm going to go with the childhood hunger. You know, my heart goes out to anyone who, because of the pandemic, now has to utilize pantry when they didn't have to before. You know, this pandemic has shown a different side of a lot of people, you know, whereas you are on the top and, you know, even workplaces are different. You know, nothing is the same. You know, and my heart goes out to those who, you know, are still able to make it. But it's difficult when you have to decide, you know, okay, am I going to feed myself? Am I going to feed my children? Or am I going to take this medicine? Or am I going to be able to go to a pantry? You know, and even sometimes the mentality of some people that utilize the pantry, you know, some people don't need it as much, you know, and utilize it, and some people are taking advantage of it. You know, it becomes difficult because it's kind of, you know, whoever gets there first is what you get, And if you happen to be in the back of the line and need it, you know, unfortunately, you may not get as much as you would like to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Vivian did mention that, you know, this is post-pandemic condition. So you were right to mention, you know, before then. And, you know, I remember being on a train one morning, and this is quite well over a decade ago. And you know how the what do you call those people, the vagrants and the homeless would walk through, being in trains. So they would have those organizations that would bag up, you know, lunch and, you know, with a sandwich and food and a juice and things like that. And I'll never forget one day a lady who was very well dressed, clearly going to work, or it looked like she was going to work. And when they came through, she took a bag. And I remember, you know, people kind of, you know, grumbling and talking. It was like, well, how dare she take that bag? And, you know, just because you're well-dressed does not mean you got food in your cabinet. And, you know, she sat right there. She opened up that bag. She peeled that orange. And she ate. And it looked like she was eating. So you can only imagine what these children are going through. You know, Vivian said that they're cutting back on the free lunch at school and things like this. So, you know, this is something that we need to be concerned about, you know, really, really doing. Like you said, you know, some people take it and they really don't need it as much, you know, but I tell you, you know, you don't know. You don't know these days. And because you don't know these days, Lady Tamika, you know, we've got to, you know, be good stewards over everything. So even if you do have to think about someone who may have even less. So I'm really glad you brought that up this morning. Really glad you brought that point up this morning. Anything else you'd like to say about this issue? Did we lose you?
No, I was. my heart just goes out to, you know, individuals. And you're right, you know, you could have on a three-piece suit, you know, and that was what you had, you know. Nobody knows how long you've had that suit. And, oh, that's a nice outfit. Oh, thank you, you know, but it's been sitting in the closet for a moment. But, you know, you come home to trying to figure out, you know, and from person to person, you have no idea what they're eating. You know, I remember a gentleman that I knew, and, you know, he was always well-dressed. I never seen him, you know, looking slovenly or anything, you know, and he was living for a while off of oodles and noodles, you know, because you can buy them, you know, by the pack, you know, and that's what he was living off of, oodles and noodles, bologna, and tuna, you know, and these are things that, for the most part, you can get, you know, a dime a dozen, but, you know, that's what he was literally living, you know, months and months off of because that's what he could afford. You know, so, and it's getting, you know, all the more harder. Workplaces are changing, you know. We're always talking about how, you know, the firing and hiring because of vaccination or not vaccination, and it's not getting any easier.
Absolutely. So, you know, we just have to keep this lifted in prayer. And maybe, you know, if we can help a little more with, you know, feeding a child, you know, then do so. Do so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times, I'm telling you something, as a mother, and I'm sure all the moms on here, and even you, Lady Tamika, as long as our kids ate, we go get a cracker. You know what I'm saying? You go do what you need to do, you know, and even if you had that little piece of bread you just kind of put in your mouth and moved on and, you know, maybe drank some Kool-Aid back in the day, whatever it took, as long as the kids ate and they were straight, you were straight. So, you know, we have to, you know, think about that now. It may not be our home, but it may be someone else's home. Thank you so much, Lady Tamika, for joining us this morning. And happy to have you on with us. Let's talk to Pastor Kim Brooks. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and God bless all of you wonderful ladies. How's everybody today?
Well, I'm well, thank you. I'm well. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. Well, I can, but I won't.
Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. As always, we're happy to have you all with us. So are we talking about the Biden administration? Are we talking about the paramedic with the sexual assault? Are we talking about, you know, something that the ladies have already talked about? What are we talking about this morning, Pastor Kim?
Oh, boy. Well, we can just touch on a little bit of everything on this morning. It's been so much said. But, you know, yeah, back to the Internet situation. I think it's a blessing that they are willing to help with that because, you know, it's like you have to have it, you know, for one thing or another. You really and truly need it. And everything is going up, from the gas to the groceries to just everything has gone up tremendously. And it's making it very difficult for a lot of people, you know. And even like myself, I got grandkids over here that need Internet to do various things, you know, for the computer. I need the Internet for things that I'm doing, you know, but every time I turn around, I'll check my bill and it's gone up higher. So, you know, it's like it's just the day and the time that we're living in that it just makes you say, wow, God, what's going to happen next? You know, you got baby milk that's being tampered with. You know, I mean, when they have a shortage of the baby milk, should I say, you know, where babies can't even get formula. What? You know, so this stuff that we're hearing about, it's just things that are unheard of, you know. So it's like, wow, God, you know, we just have to be so thankful and grateful for everything nowadays. I mean, you just have to thank God for when you are blessed to be able to, if you get food stamps, if you can get them, and hope and pray that they never shut those off, you know. God forbid that ever happens. You know, you can't even go to the grocery store and get a pack of, you know, chicken used to be the cheapest thing you can get. Now for chicken wings, it's $20 a pack. Chicken wings.
Yes. Damn. Yes. Remember when chicken wings was the thing our mothers went to because that was the cheapest part of the chicken? You couldn't even, don't even talk about getting a chicken breast, Pastor Kim, because that was way above our mom's price range. But now chicken wings cost more than the chicken breast.
Yes.
So you're right. Everything is taking a surge. And for something like Internet to become more affordable, you know, it's a blessing. It is a blessing. And you know, some people might, you know, just kind of snub that as being unimportant. But it is important. Let me tell y'all something.
It is.
If I had to live 5 minutes without my iPad, I would die. Y'all know that Pastor Steph would die if I had to go without my iPad. So needless to say, you know, I don't move without it. If I have to go 5 minutes from my house, that I'm gonna have to stay, forget the phone. Give me my iPad. So Internet is essential for me, you know, because I can, you know, that's how I even do the broadcast when I leave home, you know. So
this has
really been a blessing. For us, like you said, Pastor Kim, and you know, unfortunately, you know, we have come to a point where we can do very little without the Internet. So,
that's
you
true.
Know, it's something that we do need to give God thanks for. And, you know, like you said, who would have thought, as Elder Natisha brought up, that we would ever have to really consider being without baby formula. But again, you know, God always has a ram in the bush as mom, if she's a healthy mom, can produce on her own. So God is an amazing God. So, You know, I agree with you, Pastor Kim. You know, we need to give God thanks for everything. Everything.
Yes.
Because everything is a commodity these days. Nothing is like, you know, a barren essential. Everything is like we really need it. So thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so happy to have you. And now I want to touch on our wow story of, I believe his name is Mr. Dunn, I'll call him, 26 years old. And he goes on an interview. And, of course, he provides a resume or an application with his name and address on it. And during the interview, he has a second thought, or first thought, we might say, I don't know. Well, he now is being charged with rape and kidnapping of the 19-year-old, I believe, interviewer. And he attacked her, thank God. You know, she did get away. But now they had no problem finding him because he provided the honest and truthful information. My name is Mary Jones, and I live at 555 Mockingbird Lane, Brooklyn, New York, 11111.
Come get me.
Oh, yes. Elder and Tisha, we going to start with you. What are we thinking outside of just come get me? Oh, my God. What
an idiot.
Thinking?
I just, like idiot.
Wow.
And I love it.
Wow.
I promise you. I love how Lady Vivian, how Vivian adds her commentary.
Oh, no.
That cracks
she was
me
funny.
Up.
She was
said,
funny.
PYT. He couldn't control himself when he got in the presence of the PYT. But again, I think, you know, here is a classic situation where we see how the enemy will set us up in the blink of a moment, in the blink of an eye, in at any moment to ruin our lives. So, because I can't imagine that if you had intent to go in and commit a crime such as rape, that you would have been an idiot, fool enough to give your, you know, accurate information, your accurate name and address. So I just have to believe that it's in the midst of you being there that you were overtaken by your own lustful desires. And your lustful desires led you into a situation that now can ruin your life for the rest of your life. That is just like the enemy to put us in situations and circumstances where in a blink of a moment, all it takes is a moment for us to lose ourselves or to be disconnected from God for our life to end up going down a path of destruction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lady Tamika, what's going on? What happens in our head that we just lose focus?
Yeah, that there's no way in my mind that you intentionally came in with your ID and your resume to intentionally bring someone harm. Somewhere in there, in the time that you greeted this lady and saw her, you began to, you know, fantasize and you created your own world and kidnapped her and raped her. And there's no way that you can tell me that you actually were brilliant enough to come in with your real ID and your documentation. So somewhere in there, like I said, when he entered the door and saw who was interviewing him, that's where the issue transpired. I remember just in my life, there was a incident. I was going into work and I had on my high heels and my, you know, my gear to wear to work. And this man was walking past me going in the opposite direction. And as I was going up in the elevator, he literally followed me into the elevator. And he said, I was going up towards the 11th floor. So it took a moment, you know, and I'm looking at him because he just looked a little strange. And he was like, you know, miss,
I had no intention on following you, but it was just something about them heels and the legs that caused me to turn around. And I'm still looking at him like, you've lost his mind. In that second, I was passing him. I didn't say hello. I was just walking past him. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything odd. But it is in that moment, it's something that triggered him to ride up in the elevator. He wasn't even going to the workplace where I was going. He said, I don't know why I followed you. It was just the heels and the legs. And my heels and legs apparently talked to him to that degree that he followed me up in the elevator. So I feel that in that second, something triggered this young man to follow this lady, to come into this work, not to come into the workplace, but to do the things that he did. And it's just that moment to respond to all of those triggers that caused you to be that far off from where you were initially started.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Kim, is counseling needed? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh
yes,
my goodness.
Absolutely. That's crazy, because we're when we sin, we don't sin in the spirit, we didn't jump all the way in the flesh, and it's because of what we see with our eye gates and our ear gates that can drive us to that point, So it's obvious that if you gave your name and stuff, then your elevator didn't go all the way to the top, So something you have some serious issues from the jump, You wasn't all the way there. Yeah, something was definitely wrong. Yeah,
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Again, they say, the Bible says, every time I try to do good, evil presents itself. All I wanted was a job. Why y'all didn't give me a man who was about 83 years old, ready to retire, on his way out the door? That would have made it easy for me to help me focus. This is the scary thing. That's the scary thing, like all of you have said. In that one quick moment, that weakness overtook him. And, it's something that we really need to concern ourselves with, that it can get this bad, that you have a weakness that can actually get this bad and, where you're just losing. And you know what? We all have something that we like, damn. And I think that the kiss again, it's something. We all have something that we are weakened by. And when you have lost your thought process and your focus to say, well, you know what? I need this PYT just a little more than I need the JOB. We got a problem, y'all. There's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a big problem. So, that's why we need to keep this pray for them, because this world is really troubled, very, very, very troubled. Thank you, ladies, for, indulging me in my little quest to go down Vivian's socially conscious items. This morning, I want to talk about, this letter that we read yesterday from a young lady who was a freshman in college and decided to commit suicide. And I want to read this letter, and I want that to be the segue into our topic this morning. She wrote, "May this day bring me rest and peace. I have fought this urge since my early teenage years. I gave this life all the fight I had. Through everyone who has entered my life, I'm so grateful, and I can only imagine how this may find you. I have been surrounded by people who may have honestly thought that I was okay, but I haven't been okay for a while. I struggled so much through just this year alone, from COVID
to tearing my ACL, to nearly failing all of my classes. To the people in my life, I pray you learn to vocalize your feelings and get help always. I failed at that, and I'm afraid it's too late. Mom, thank you so much. I pray you know I'm at rest now. You would have given anything to see me happy. You have given everything to see me happy. I'm happy in the water where everything is still and peaceful. I have written so many suicide notes in my life, but finally, I've reached my end. I hope this teaches everyone to check on your quote-unquote strong friends. Be present always. I'm contradicting myself, but never give up. I know that I'm letting a lot of people down by what I'm about to do. But truth is, I've already let down so many people throughout my life, and it just feels unbearable. I've lost my connection to God. The devil seems to have won, and that is okay. I blame no one for this. I thank everyone for all they've done. And I'm sorry, I'm so, so sorry. But thinking about how everyone else would feel about my death is not enough either. I've tried to please and make everyone else happy my entire life. I've been dead inside for too long. To everyone I know, just remember that this is not your fault, and I pray you don't find guilt in my situation. To my granddad, I wish you were here to tell me I'm being stupid. To tell me it's not worth it, but you've left me and found your own peace. I've always been stubborn and prideful, just like you. I've always dreamed of becoming so many things that I am today, but they just aren't enough. I'm not enough. I haven't felt enough for a while, but I say all this to say, I'm done fighting. My battle is over, and I pray everyone finds peace in that. And we talked about, you know, this letter yesterday, and, you know, we broke it down. And, you know, this morning, I want to talk about ways we can minister to someone who's battling depression. You know, she mentioned that, you know, she appeared okay, and yet she hadn't been okay for quite some time. And I'm going to tell you something I know personally how that is. And I'm sure many of us can have that testimony, that, you know, we walk around and we look okay, but inside we're done. Inside we have not much else, to not any fuel to go on. And, you know, we have maybe contemplated this thing here, and, you know, the time has come where we really need to discuss, you know, what do we do? What do we do at a time like this when someone could actually be going through something like this? And what do we say? You know, a lot of times people say, I don't know what to say. Well, let's talk about this thing today. One of the first things they talk about is, you know, if a person is battling a level of depression, don't shame or guilt Elder Nikesha.
No, I totally agree. I think when a person is dealing with depression, when a person is dealing with sadness, the worst thing we can do is to add to that by adding guilt and by adding shame to them. I think one of the things we have to do is have a level of compassion, have a level of empathy, make them feel seen and make them feel heard. Most individuals who are contemplating suicide are at that place because they do not feel seen. They don't feel heard. They don't feel like anyone understands. And there's a place of isolation that individuals find themselves in when they're at that point. Really, when they reach that point, they're really saying is that I don't see light at the end of the tunnel. And so I need for someone to shine light into a dark tunnel. So one of the things I think we can do, one of the most important things that we can do
is to really make them feel seen, make them feel heard, and to validate that the difficulty that they're dealing with, that they're facing, that it is real and that it is human and that this human experience is not always easy, but that through God we can find faith, we can find hope to continue on in this journey.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, we're talking about don't shame or guilt them if we understand that they're going through a level of depression.
Yeah, and if my viewpoint is already down, I definitely don't need someone pushing me even further. And you don't realize that if my mentality is at that degree, the things that you say, especially in a level of bashing, causes me to go even further down into myself. It makes me feel as though I'm not appreciated, you know, and even if my emotion could be, you know, well, way off, you know, bashing me is not going to help that situation because I'm already distraught. So anything that you say to me can add to the depression that I'm already feeling and causing me to feel as though you don't care. So what difference does it make? I don't care. You don't care. So let's just go ahead and end it, unfortunately.
Okay. Pastor Kim. Is, you know, shame or guilting them. You know, sometimes people feel like that's the route to go, you know, make them feel bad. You know, this young lady kind of included that, you know, in her letter. So I'm feeling bad about, you know, feeling this way or making this move, but I can't feel this way for y'all any longer. You know, so we can't guilt or shame them.
Absolutely. You know, the worst thing that you could do is kick somebody when they're down. You know, if somebody's already going through, you know, you're already feeling a certain kind of way, feeling unloved, feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're not, you know, accomplishing your goals or what have you, you know, the struggle is real, you know. And like you said, you know, you can contest to what it is that this young lady felt because we've all been in a dark place in some time in our life. You know, maybe not to say that I'm going to take my life, you know, but to a degree of just feeling like giving up, you know, so to speak, or just, you know, just feeling like I can't do this. You know, I don't want to do this. You know, rather it had been from a broken relationship or a sickness in your body that just, you know, just gets you so discouraged and frustrated with going through, you know, people going through chemo, you know, people going through dialysis, people going through so many different things that it just makes you feel like, what's the use? You know, and yes, it is the enemy. And sometimes the inner me, you know, that can talk to you and try to make you feel like, go ahead on, just go on and just end it. What's the use? You know, ain't nobody going to miss you. You know, the devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his job. That's his job. And, yes, when you're going through, you're not thinking about all of that. Matter of fact, you probably don't even care. You know, because it sounds like, you know, she knew, but, you know, something that a lot of people once said that when a person really and truly wants to commit suicide, they're not really going to do a whole lot of talking about it. They're just going to do it. You know, sometimes some of it is attention seeking, you know, people seeking out for some attention. So. You know, but with all of that being said, the best thing to do is really those of us that know the power of prayer is to pray, you know, and to try to help that individual to not feel any worse than they're already feeling.
All right, all right. You know, having said that, Kim, the next thing they say is let it run its course. And I really want to know what you ladies think about that. Lady Tamika, I'm going to start with you. They say don't rush things.
let it run its course. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, so I'm really very much on the fence with that one, because there are some things that you can do to intercede, you know, certain things. And it all depends on the person, you know, their perspective, what they're saying, how they're reacting. There are times where you can bring them out of that place, you know, speaking life to them, sharing time with them, you know, setting aside time, you know, meeting time, things that you can do, places that you can do, places that you can go, healthy environments that you can put that person in. Letting it take its course, I think that's a difficult area because there are some people that I know who are no longer living because I was prevented from helping them at the time, you know, and I ended up in a situation where my hands were tied and I did have to let it take its course and the individual is now no longer living. So I'm more inclined to disagree with that one.
Okay, okay. Pastor Kim, you know, they say be patient and let it run its course. What's your thought on that one?
Yeah, I agree, you know, that you might not have time to let it run its course, you know. You might have to move in quickly, you know, and do an intervention possibly even, you know, because the enemy is running rapid. And he, you know, he is going to and fro seeking who he can devour. And he's constantly, you know, on the prowl and he's moving fast. And if a person is, you know, in a dark place and in a weak spot in their life, you know, that's his target and that's his opportunity to try to, you know, to jump in on that individual, because a lot of times when people commit suicide, it happens so fast, you know, that they didn't have a chance to think about it. You know, they didn't have a chance, you know, that thought hit their mind and bam, you know, they went and got the knife. They cut their wrist. They got the gun, you know, and they just did it. You know, so if you see any signs of depression or oppression, or you see anything that's an indication to you that somebody is going through or feeling something, then maybe you might want to, you know, get on that phone and get to praying or laying hands or getting them to a place where they can get the help that they need, because it's real. It's real.
All righty, all righty. Elder Latisha, let me hear what your thought is on be patient and let it run its course. They say depression is like a virus. It comes, runs its course, and goes. Ooh, often the person just needs TLC unrest. Oh, did that sound like we just finished reading needed TLC and rest?
No. Depression is much more than something that just needs to run its course, because depression, the longer that it exists, can actually become more detrimental. So this idea of a person who's dealing with depression needs to immediately get into therapy. And I know in the Christian community, you know, we get concerned about this idea of community. We also do a disservice when we tell people that they just need to pray and have more faith. I think, you know, therapy and Jesus can work together. And I think that we have to do a better job of really being able to have, as a church, have resources that when a person is dealing with depression, we can say to them, I want you to get help. We can no longer just turn a blind eye to it and say, oh, you want attention, or you just, you know, need to pray, and you just need to have faith, and you'll be okay. Once this situation is passed, you'll be okay. No. For a person to, one, you could be dealing with mental illness. So there are a number of things that could be going on here that need to be diagnosed by professionals, not by people who don't have that experience and that don't have the medical knowledge to be able to determine how severe this is. So we cannot just say, that we're going to turn a blind eye and just give them some TLC and hope that, you know, this season will pass, because we do not know. And we need to take every individual, every incident of depression needs to be treated like the end result could be suicide. So we definitely need to treat it more severely than we do.
Absolutely, babies, absolutely. You know, they say, listen, 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 listen to what they have to say. Pastor Kim.
Absolutely. You know, we want to be a listening ear. You know, we want to be there to let them know, hey, you know, I'm here for you. You know, because communicating can be very therapeutic, you know. So, yes, listen to what it is. Don't ignore the signs. Don't ignore that small thing that, or that comment or that remark that they might have said that was the very thing that gave you the sign and the warning to let you know that they're in that dark place, or that they're suffering from depression or whatever. So, yes, sometimes we can get so busy and people don't understand, you know, where you are or what you're going through, you know. And, oh, well, I thought that, you know, I thought everything was okay when she was calling me, you know, saying that, you know, that she needed to talk to me about something, you know. I thought I had time, you know, to call her back, you know. When in that very, if you could have just maybe given that individual 5 minutes to listen to what they had to say, then that very 5 minutes could have been the 5 minutes that could have saved the life.
Amen, amen. You know, Elder Nitisha, this letter that was written by the young lady, you know, she says, you know, y'all thought I was okay. And one of the reasons why someone could think you're okay is because they're so busy talking, they haven't taken the time to listen and possibly find out, if you listen, that they were not okay.
Absolutely, and I think that that is definitely something that we are all guilty of. We rush to want to offer aid. We rush to want to offer words of comfort and encouragement, right? Overspeaking isn't always from a malicious place. Sometimes it's because we just want to offer help. And so in our quest to offer help, we don't just pause to listen, to allow this person to share what is going on, to share how they're really feeling. Because when we pause to just listen without quickly, another thing we do, we interrupt people while they're talking so they can't even complete a full thought. And so in our over-talking, because we just want to just be so helpful, we miss the cues of an individual who is crying out for help. And so, yes, it is imperative that we do as a people, that we just slow down in our quest to help, in our quest. Do we want to share the good news? Do we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Do we want to remind people that you can have faith and you should have hope and you should do this? Yeah. Do we want to do those things? Yes. But let's first make sure that we understand where a person is before we offer hope, because oftentimes we try to help about stuff and we miss the mark. You miss the mark simply because you did not listen. I heard someone say to me, we have one mouth and two ears for that very person, for that very purpose, to be able to listen more intently than we speak.
Absolutely, absolutely. Letty Tamika, listen, listen, listen. What are we saying? Listen?
I would even go further than that. There are times, definite times, when we need to listen, not just with our ears, but with our heart, because there's a lot that goes on that sometimes in our engagement with other people that we miss the cues, you know. And I'll give you, you know, a simple situation. Somebody just goes to talking,
and, you know, we can barely wait till they finish that last breath because we're trying to jump in. You know, they didn't finish the whole sentence. You know, I such and such and such at work, and then you get ready to jump in, you know, and we haven't really listened with our hearts at what is really being said. Sometimes we're in the midst of engaging in our everyday endeavors that we miss the cues, you know, something is said or something is done. Wait, what did you do? What just happened? You know, and sometimes the sad part about that is it's hours later when we realize, you know, such and such, or even something as simple as, you know, that phone call. You've often heard, you know, when people are in the midst or in the process or getting ready to commit suicide, that they provide cues to other individuals. And sometimes in our everyday engagement, you know, we're handling this and we're handling that, and somebody says something and we just kind of not even really focus on it because we're so busy, you know, handling our thing, you know. And get granted, we all have things that go on, but sometimes it's more than just listening with the ear, but providing the heart, the opening to catch the cues when they say something.
Absolutely, absolutely. Get something done. This is something we really, I want to hear what your thought is. You know, they say stay positive and upbeat and don't let their depression get you down, Elder Nigeria.
Say that for me one more time.
Be positive and upbeat, and don't let their depression get you down.
Right. I mean, I think there's an element of truth to that, right, that we are to maintain our stance and our posture when trying to go in to help someone. You know, even when you're riding on a plane, they tell you to make sure that you put on your face mask before trying to help someone else. So it is, you know, this calling to attention to say, make sure that you are girded up with all of the positivity, with all of the strength that is needed before entering into, you know, another person's space. But I also think that we are also called to be empathetic and compassionate. And being empathetic, you know, involves our ability to enter into the hurt with a person, to enter into, can I stand afar off and shout out instructions to you? I could, but is that impactful? Is that effective? No, it is more effective for me to share, to enter into that space with you and to share in that space of grief with you, to be able to relate with to you. And that can look like, not that I get dragged down by your depression, but that can look like the struggles that you're dealing with in your life. I know what that's like because I've been there too. You dealing with the grief of the loss of your loved one, I know what that's like because I've been there too. That is what it looks like to enter into another person's space. It's of the ability to be empathetic, to have compassion, and to not just stand afar off looking at them as though we can't relate. You know, I don't think that that's impactful. So I do think that there's two sides to that coin, that yes, we should be girded up and prepared for the fight. And that we should make sure that we've taken care of ourselves, you know, and to be able to assist another person. I don't think that it's helpful for two people who are dealing with depression to try to help each other. I think that they can find themselves in a no-win situation. But I do think that our ability to stand in empathy and compassion is necessary.
Right. Lady Tamika, you know, what's your thought on, you know, don't let their depression get you down. You need to stay positive and up.
In order for me to pull you out of a pit, I would have to be in a position whereas I am elevated. That does not mean that I am above you. However, my condition has to be in a different area in order to lift you from where you are.
it becomes quite difficult for me to pull you if I'm on the same level, and even more harder for me to try and pull you from a disposition that you're in if I'm beneath you. And so, you know, I have got to get to where you are in order to reach you. I can't go on the other side of the building where I can't see you to be able to assist you. I have to be in a position that allows me to be able to lift you from where you are. And so it's, you have to be very careful that as you're pulling, that as you're assisting, that you don't allow yourself to get to that position, or else I'm in the same plane that with where you are, and as I'm pulling, I'm only pulling you in the same line, and it's not assisting you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Kim, stay upbeat. Don't let their depression get you down. What are you telling everyone?
Yeah, it's important that you make sure that you're strong enough, because, you know, that's why the Bible says the strong can bear the infirmities of the weak, you know, and everybody is not always strong enough to be able to handle other people's issues, you know. So depending on where you are or what you're going through, you know, sometimes, you know, we do carry each other's burdens, and it's real. Because if you're my sister and I love you, your burden becomes my burden, you know. But at the same time, you have to be girded up, you got to be prayed up, and you got to be strong enough to know what you're doing. It's just like an altar worker, you know. Everybody is not equipped to work the altar, because people come and they bring their burdens. You know, when people are burdened down, when people are stressed out, when people are going through stuff, if you're not a strong person, you don't need to be one of those ones that are going to be tarrying with somebody, or one of those ones that are praying and interceding for an individual, and you know that you're in a weak place, or you know that you're in sin. So it's important that we just use godly wisdom in taking on or trying to intercede for another person, especially when you know that you're poor in spirit.
All right, all right. Lady Tamika, they're suggesting that you get them in acts of service. How essential do you believe that is?
I think it isn't essential, because it keeps them always focusing on self. See, the enemy has a plan, you know, and his design is that you continue to keep looking down, you know. I can't do this, and I can't acquire that, and this is where I am, and I'm never going to be any farther than where I am. And when you get busy and you're doing other things, you know, and you're assisting other people, sometimes in situations like that, it's helpful for you, because it keeps you from focusing on where you are, and it takes you from where you currently are to a different level.
Okay, okay. Pastor Kim, get them involved in acts of service. Do you agree with that?
Get them involved in acts of service?
Yes.
Yes, you know, because sometimes the idle mind is the devil's workshop, and sometimes in being idle, is and that's when the enemy comes in. That's when he is on a prowl, you know, because he knows that you are sitting idle, and you got all of this time. You're not working because you don't want to go to work. You don't want to do this. You don't want to be around people. And that's the very minute that he wants to come into your playground and get all up in your mind. So, yes, I would agree with getting them involved into some acts of service, because I think that, you know, even if it meant getting them involved in some programs where they can help other people that might be going through what they're going through, you know, they could be a blessing and help us one to another.
Right, okay. Elder Nitesha, what's your thoughts on getting the depressed individual in acts of service?
Getting a person who is depressed in acts of service, I'll say this. The Bible says to us that a sorrowful heart crushes the spirit. So I do think that by showing a person you know, how to arrive back at the place of gratitude, I think that that can be helpful. I think, you know, by you entering into spaces that allow for individuals to be helpful and to see, you know, people who are worse off than them can shift. It can shift their perspective. It can shift their mindset. And so I think that that can be helpful.
Okay. Pastor Kim, offer to do something with them.
Yes. You know, let's go out to eat. You know, let's go somewhere. Let's plan a vacation. You know, planning to do something with them. You know, you're intervening and you're doing whatever it is that you could do to try to be a help and to be a blessing to help that person to come out of that dark space. So absolutely, I think that that would be a wonderful thing to offer, to go somewhere, to do something with them. You know, even if it's something like, let's go down to the water, you know, and just, you know, go, let's grab a little something to eat. Let's have a little picnic. You know, you could do something that doesn't even cost a whole lot of money, you know, that could just, like she said, shift the atmosphere. Just being able to have sister time or brother time or what have you, you know, just giving them that quality time can make a world of difference.
Okay. Elder Nitesha, plan to do something with them.
Absolutely. I do believe that discipleship is great medicine. I think walking alongside people is imperative. I believe that by walking alongside people, we are able to help them to regain a lifted spirit and a lifted mindset. So I do believe that, you know, by checking on them, inviting them out to dinner, inviting them out to lunch, not allowing them to sit in the space that they currently find themselves in. Like, again, what is depression? Depression takes on various forms, but one of the main things is that it's just a dark place where they feel lonely and they feel isolated. So by walking alongside them and checking on them, doing things with them, inviting them out, that can help to lift their spirits. That can help to shift them from that dark place and ultimately, you know, lead them into a healthier place.
Okay. And Lady Tamika, do something along with them.
You never know how much of a benefit you can provide someone by just saying, hey, let's do such and such such. And, you know, I remember a lady who mentioned to me that I had been of assistance with her when she was going through by simply saying to her, let's go plant some stuff in the yard. She, like, looked at me really weird at the time, you know, when I suggested it, you know, and but later on, she came back to me and she said, you know, just going out there and getting your fingers dirty and doing something different, something that, you know, is not in the norm. You're already in that state of, you know, not feeling your best and, you know, taking yourself out of the norm, you know, and it becomes also the person who's going through the depression has to be receptive, you know, and open to doing something, you know, but sometimes just putting it on the table makes it easier so that not just the planning process, but watching the plants grow, you know, and knowing that you had a hand of it, you know, made her feel better. Every morning she would get up and in the summertime she would get out there and just look and plant and cut, you know, and it's a process that kept going because it wasn't just that one day I would come by and ask her how things are going. Did she need help? You know, is there something else that I can, you know, so don't just provide that one door opening, but be present, you know, be available so that when they do call, and they will call, that you either have an open ear or that you're present with them in the moment so that they can hear.
Amen. Ladies, I want us to end with the obvious. Pray. Elder Nitesha.
I'm sorry, I was trying to wait till it gets a little more.
Absolutely. My encouragement as we end today would definitely be that prayer is our dialogue with the Father, and that it shifts our perspectives, and it allows us the opportunity to not look at what we're in right now as the final destination. If there's someone who is listening, I want to speak directly to your heart, speak directly to your soul, speak directly to your spirit, and encourage you that where you are right now is not where you will stay. It won't be like this always, and it's through our ability to pray and to see God that gives us an understanding that God has all things in control, and he knows us. He knows who we are. He knows how we were made. He understood what we were going to be dealing with. He understood what difficulties you were going to face, but he had already established victory for you. So wherever you are right now, know that this is not the final destination, but that there is victory. It's your inheritance, and it is in store for you. So connect to the Father, and by doing so, you'll be able to grab hold of that that'll pull you out of the darkness.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, the obvious, pray, pray, pray.
Definitely. Prayer is completely essential. You know, it's essential for the individual who's going through. It's also crucial for the individual who is assigned to help, you know, because, and not only just prayer, but as you pray, act, you know, the Lord will tell you what to do, how to do, you know. It's kind of like, you know, you're trying to get from one place to another. Without the map, there's no guidance. And so, you know, prayer is our guidance. It tells us what to do, how to help, you know, how to be present, when to be present, you know, and, of course, continue to pray. And when you finish praying, pray again. And when you're done with that, pray again. But again, act as you pray.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, you've got the final word today. Pray, pray, pray.
Yes, 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 yes. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer is a powerful weapon. The Bible tells us that man ought to always pray and not faint. Amen. And we got to pray without ceasing. We got to know that prayer is our communicating with God. And when we're talking to him, when nobody else understands, when we don't have anybody else to talk to, if you could just give it to your Heavenly Father, if you could go into your secret closet, if you could find you a war room and just begin to write those things down on the wall and just begin to pray and just go in, amen. And sometimes you got to push, you got to pray until you feel something happen. So many times we get down on our face and we get down on our knees and we pray to God and we give God a little 30-second prayer, but sometimes it's power when you stay down there on your face and you begin to pray and push until something comes till you get a breakthrough. Sometimes you got to pray until snot start coming out your nose and just let God know, you know, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate to be in your presence. You know, the Bible says, he that dwell in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a place where you can get in God where nothing can hurt or harm you. There's a place in God where you can get, hallelujah, where God will let you know that he will be your refuge, he will be your strength, and he will be that present help in the times of trouble. So pray, 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 people of God. Prayer works.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, another fantastic, fantastic job you've done today. I thank you so much for your contribution to this conversation, and I pray you have a blessed day.
You too. God bless you.
Thank you. All righty. You know what time it is. It's the top of Wednesday. And this is the time where we always get that icing on the cake. The ladies have baked the cake. They put it on the table. Now the icing goes on when we get our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing well today. Thank the Lord.
Amen, amen. Oh, we're talking about ministering to someone who is depressed. And the ladies have done a fantastic job with, relaying such a message. How are we tying in the faith over fear at this time?
Amen. I will also say that, you know, come out of being ashamed and being able to talk to someone. And as I said yesterday, to be able to show them that you really need help. In the mix of it all, you know, we have to be able to lay our burdens down, and we have to be able to lay our pride down, and being able to ask for help. We want to be able to, you know, go past that being fearful of being scared, because the isolation that will keep eating in your mind. So therefore, you want to be able to allow someone. It has to be someone, a neighbor, somebody that you can trust, that you're able to talk to, and where that they'll be able to guide and lead you. Now, even to the church house, or even to go into therapy, you know, and being able to seek that help and to go back, because you need to know where the root of that has come from and why you're feeling the way that you do. And only God can do it, because he's the only one that's going to be able to pull you out. So during prayer time, when you're pouring out and crying out to him, he'll be able to guide and lead you, and he'll show you a person, because that's what he did for me. Where I was able to go to this person, I was able to and walk, and that person will walk with you through it all and be able to guide and lead you where you need to go. So just be able to know that God is real, and God is going to be able to help you through it all. And he will turn the situation around where that will become your ministry, where that you'll be able to show and help others, because you've been there. And since you're in such a dark place, he'll show you where the light is, and continue to press yourself forward to the towards the light, and know that it is Jesus standing there with his arms wide open waiting for you, and he'll wipe those tears away and pull you through. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Giving God thanks for your contribution today, Pastor Charlotte. And we pray you have a blessed day.
And you do the same. God bless you all.
Thank you. Oh, you know what time it is. It's time that we hold hands and hold hearts, and we go before the Lord together. Pray, pray, pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. Thank you as always, as we can come before you without giving you thanks for all that you have done. We thank you, God, for allowing our ears to hear this morning such a powerful message as to how we need to minister to those who need us, those who are laboring amongst your people, dear Heavenly Father. And that doesn't mean you're an evangelist. It doesn't mean that you're a minister. It doesn't mean that you're a pastor. It doesn't mean you're a missionary, God. But we are to disciple. And in evangelizing and in discipling, that's a byproduct of all that entails. You know, when we're out here and we're supposed to be drawing people to you, we can't draw only the good, the ones who are happy and smiling. But we need to be able to reach out to those who are not feeling well, those who are in a depressed state, those who have felt they've reached their end, those who feel like, I don't know what to do anymore, those who are lost. And we ask you, God, that if today is the first day we've heard this level of guidance and counsel and suggestion, we pray, God, that every ear would hear you. Your word says, my sheep hear my call, and you're calling us today, God. A young lady is speaking for millions. Many people go out, and they don't even say why. They don't leave a note. But here we are blessed today, God, that you have allowed us to get some working material that we can actually hear the plight, the aching, the concern of someone who we can no longer minister to. How many people that she knew heard that letter
and felt that they missed the mark. Well, guess what? We don't get another opportunity to miss a mark. If we've missed one, if we've missed 10, if the journey stops there, where we don't know how to minister to your people. And we thank you, God, for just being able to hear from you today. Thank you for the investment one more time. Thank you for hearing our cry, God. How many of us can identify with that letter? But you said no. And here we are. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to reach out. It's our turn to talk, to pray, to listen, to encourage, to not, you know, bring them down, but to lift them up. And we thank you for everything you said today, because when your lady spoke, it was ultimately you who was speaking. So we thank you for hearing from you today. Thank you for waking us up. And God, we pray that if anybody is on this line right now, if they're listening to this right now, God, that you have just spoken to them, that they hear you, that they're not, you know, hearing this and just brushing it off because it's not for them. They're not there. They're not that far. It would never be them. So, God, we're asking that your alarm goes off in every individual, that we would see, hear, and understand, that we would have a heart for your people even more than we ever have before. And we thank you for another opportunity at life. We thank you for another opportunity at discipling, evangelizing, ministering. Thank you, God. And that this was the rehearsal, because we don't know when someone is going to be standing before us. We don't know when that phone call is going to come in, God, that we must be ready. We must be ready to hear from you and to speak life into a death and deadly situation, that we won't make assumptions that that person just ain't that far. They're not doing that bad, but that we would, again, just hear from you, that we would stay on our knees till the snot is running from our noses over the lives that are suffering and aching out here. And we're trusting everything that you give us to do, everything that you give us to say. Let us remember to make time for others, God, that we're not so busy moving and we got stuff to do and ain't enough hours in the day. And we take the time to listen to your people and to be a bigger blessing than we have ever been, than we have ever been. And that is our goal, that we will listen for you more, we will listen to you more, and we would pay attention to your people more. Thank you, God. We love you because you first loved us, and we would not know about love if it were not for you. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you for the investment. I got to say that again, God. Thank you for the investment. When I thought I knew it all, you took the time to reach out to me again. When I thought I was at my end, you reached out one more time and let me know that I gave my son so that you could have life more abundantly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I read that letter again this morning, and it was about my fourth or fifth time reading the letter. And, you know, I think about how many people, again, suffer. And we don't have the faintest idea
of what people are going through. And sometimes you'll talk to someone and they'll come back and they'll say, girl, you don't even know how you ministered. You don't even know what you helped me get out of. You don't even know when I called you and you told me, yes, you know, sis, I got, you know, a couple minutes, and we ended up talking for 3 hours. What that did for me. Or how many times have you heard that somebody did something because they called you and you didn't have the time or you didn't make the time? And you're saying to God, just, if I ever get that opportunity again, God, I'll never fail again. Here you are. Here you are, given that next opportunity. You know, we zeroed in on her note yesterday where she said, you know, I'm lost. I've given up. You know, the devil has won, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, I realized that, you know, it's, you know, yesterday we talked about it. You can't just say it's okay. Because as Pastor Kim always talks about, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We can't ever be okay with the fact that the devil has won. Because that's why we serve this God. We serve this great, big, and wonderful God that has a legion of angels that will be dispatched at our call. How many times has God dispatched that legion of angels and we didn't call on him? So just imagine when you're in that fight and you say, you know what? I need you, Lord. I need you to just come and work this thing out. Here's how I'm feeling. And I can't do this no more. But I remember that your word said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, bring your burdens to me. And you know what, God? I'm going to do that right now. I'm doing that right now. It's not okay for the enemy to be standing right beside me and trying to, you know, gauge what I do and gauge how I see, receive and perceive and understand and, you know, how I'm assessing these things. It's not okay. But I can't do this by myself. I need you. I need you not yesterday. I don't need you now. I need you from last week when all this stuff got started and I wasn't even aware of it. I need you before now. I need you to be ahead of me so I don't walk into anything or any place or speak to anybody. I don't go into any level of mindset that doesn't bless you, your son, and your spirit. I'm calling on you right now to fight this battle because it's not mine. It's yours. And I have to remember that the enemy has already lost. So he's trying to just gather up all of the other losers. But I declare that as of today, I am not a loser. I am more than a conqueror. That you sent somebody for me. And I'm going to honor you by just allowing them to help me walk through this. I'm not going to be in this alone because at the end of the day, I'm not alone. See, that's what we need to be saying. Instead of saying the enemy has won and I'm okay with it. We can't be okay with it. We can't be okay with it. Because the day we say we're okay, we have agreed to lay down and die. God, Jesus has already done that. Oh, he's already laid down and died. Why you got to lay down and die? Job has already been done. And let me tell you something.
Can't nobody do that thing better than the Lord. Because when you just even fathom just that little inkling of a thought of what he's gone through for us, we can't even compare to that. So don't try. Give it to him. It's not our battle. It's not our fight. And keep that in mind. Remember that God loves us. Remember that God has a plan. For I know the plans that I have for you. And keep that in the forefront of your mind. That plan that God has for you is never for you to be by yourself. Ever, 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 and ever. For you to be by yourself. So let's take on a different attitude. You know, all of us can get depressed. I'm not beating you up about that because the Bible tells us there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. So you want to make sure that you don't stay there. Okay? And we want to make sure that we keep God in the forefront of everything. Forefront of every challenge we have. Don't let it get so far that we can't find our way out, that we can't find Jesus, that we don't remember because we're so deep in that depressed state that it just don't even matter no more. Because that's just the way I'm feeling. And I don't want to get out this feeling. I'm fine being here. I'm fine staying here. Nobody cares. Ain't nobody listening. Can you imagine the level of insult that some may have felt after hearing her say the things, some of the things she put in that letter, where someone may have ministered to her, but at the end of the day, she deemed it not enough? Can you imagine how someone may feel who may have really tried to reach out to you? Or her, rather. So think about it. God, if you're depressed, I promise you God has sent someone for you. I promise you. I promise you. You are not on this journey alone. And this is exactly why God sent for us a message to minister. Because somebody needs us. And we need to be on point. So don't allow yourself to get to a point where you don't even receive the blessing that God has sent us in someone else. That God is paying attention. His heart is touched by our every grief. There is nothing that we feel that Jesus does not understand. Nothing. You're not alone, and you don't have to go through anything alone. Let this lesson be for you. Let this letter be for you. It's for you. Whether it's for you as a depressed individual, possibly where she is or where she was, or if it now teaches you to more attention. And now I got to make sure I'm on my job. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my ladies, for always being on point, always in the blessing business. I want to thank you for hanging out with us today, and I pray that you don't miss this opportunity to be spoken to, and you will not only be hearers, but be doers of God's word. Please do not also miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us.
Until tomorrow, God spares our life. Where is Therapeutic Thursday? I love you.
Okay, we got to move, move, move. Thank you so much.
Jackie, come on. Oh my gosh. Grab a bottle of water.
I did. You want a bottle of water?
Right.
Yes. Good morning. How are you? I'm fine. You fine? Thank you. I know. That's why I'm like, I hope I got everything.